Let's face it, life isn't easy. If you're stuck in a bad relationship, betrayed or afraid of tomorrow, financially insecure, or desperate for a breakthrough, you've come to the right place. Dr. Carmen Hara is a renowned psychologist, intuitive, relationship expert, and best-selling author, and she's here to give you the miracle guidance you need. Her new call-in show, Miracle Guidance for Everyday Life, offers profound wisdom, practical advice, daily exercises, and empowering predictions, all for you. Dr. Hara's show aims to eliminate everyday problems, big and small, with topics like healing your relationships, reclaiming your power, achieving better health, dealing with loss, and so much more. Regain the joy, stability, and fulfillment you deserve to feel. Tune in to Miracle Guidance for Everyday Life with host Dr. Carmen Hara, live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, and find the answers you've been looking for.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Miracle Guidance, the show that offers you the guidance you need to transform your life. I'm actually doing this show for a very long time, for many years already, thanks to my producer, Christopher. And as you know me, I'm live every Tuesday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Home Time Radio. And tonight, I have a wonderful guest. Tonight, the topic is about aging, because no one wants to age. We all want to reap the benefits of beauty, vitality, and most importantly, good health forever. Now, thanks to scientific breakthrough in medicine, biology, epigenetics, we are an inch closer to the common dream every single day. Now, new discoveries governing the laws of cells, tissues, organs are helping us live longer and happier lives. So what can we do, you know, to get rid of diseases, look and feel better, and prolong our lives? So I invited a wonderful doctor tonight who just wrote a brilliant book. Her name is Dr. Daniela Farkas, and I will introduce you to her in a second. But she came up with such powerful actions and talking about potent supplements that you can take on a daily basis to slow down the aging process, to rejuvenate your body from the inside out, and so many things. I mean, the book that she wrote, this is actually called The End of Aging, is absolutely brilliant. I highly recommend this book. It just came out, and you will find extraordinary answers to many of your health questions inside this book. You'll learn so much about yourself and the things that you actually can do. You know, so this book is inspiration for many generations. And the thing that we should take into consideration is that the next barrier we must break through consists of reversing and stopping the process of aging, because aging is a very costly disease. And many industries make billions each year off of our desire to be forever young. Now, in truth, there's nothing more desirable about any condition associated with aging or sickness. So to live a long life, but a good life, and we don't want to live a sick life, because a sick life is like not a blessing, it's more like a curse. So collectively, we are thriving for healthy and a long life. So everybody's striving for longevity. And as I said, my guest tonight, Dr. Farkas, she wrote this fantastic book that is called The End of Aging. And the book explains the seven pillars of age and death and how to prevent every one of them. And if we understand how we age and why we should intervene at different points, you know, to make things better, she discussed the natural cell cycle of age and how there are different pathways that lead to cancer. She discussed all kinds of topics, what vitamin you should do, how you can protect your cells. And she comes with the most innovative ideas and explains things that haven't been explained before. So I can go on and on and on in telling you how many things this book gives you in terms of information. And so with no further ado, I'm going to welcome my incredible guest, Dr. Daniela Farkas. And I want to tell you that she was actually born in Romania like me, and she came here when she was 19. She was married at 29 with two small kids, but she went to school. And she graduated as a biologist, magna cum laude, and continued to earn a master's degree in biomedics and got a doctorate in 2001. She opened her own medical practice. She continued to go to school, and she became also a homeopathic practitioner in 2007. She had an innovation in 2017, continuing, you know, to promote her practice, to raise the two kids. She did so many things. She started to work with water in developing creams that I use structural water as a vector to introduce nutrients. And she also used stem cells into rejuvenating skin. I also know that Dr. Farkash uses stem cells inside the knee, you know, to regenerate and to repair fracture, regenerate cartilage, eliminate arthritic pain without surgery. She is just a pioneer in the field of innovative medicine and preventing medicine. So her first book is actually, it just came out. It's called The End of Aging. And Dr. Farkash, I am so grateful that you took your time to be with us tonight. And I want to tell you, I'm your patient. I absolutely adore you. I think that you did a phenomenal book. And I'm very, as I said, very grateful for your time.
I thank you so much for having me on the show. Appreciate.
Absolutely. Now, you start at the beginning of the book using a quote that I actually love. That is Aristotle quote that says, excellent is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, and intelligent execution. I love this quote because, you know, it represents the wide choice of many alternative choices, not only influence the way you live, but influence the trajectory of your destiny. So it's so empowering. It's so empowering to know that our health is truly in our hands. Now, tonight, we have a lot of people waiting to talk to you. We have Koi from New York. We have Kim from Florida. We have Leilani, I don't know where Leilani is because she's always moving. And we have other callers. So you guys, hold on the line. We'll be talking to Dr. Farkash. Think of all your questions about your health, because rarely you have such an opportunity to talk to somebody who knows so much about medicine. Now, Dr. Farkash, I want to tell you the most simple question. Why did you decide to write this book? It's normal for me to ask you this question, but if you can answer, you know, I'll appreciate it.
Thank you for the question. Yes, I started to write this book because I realized what a significant role aging plays in everybody's life, and especially conditions associated with aging, such as diabetes, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, pain, arthritis, death.
Right.
Those are presenting enormous, enormous costs for taxpayers, an enormous suffering cost for every individual. So I thought that by writing something that would benefit every single person in society, I would do something good for everyone and for all of us in the long run.
That is so true. Now, I want to give you my example. My grandmother lived 103, and her mother, my grand-grandmother, 112. Now, these women, they had no idea that doctors exist by their time, and they live in a countryside, so they had a certain lifestyle by the way people lived 100-something years ago. Now, nowadays, you know, we live in a society with so much depression, with so many diseases. Like, I feel like in the last 90 years, we discovered more than 500 diseases. We have 100 autoimmune disorders. More than ever, it's like, okay, we are fighting, to get better. But it's like we discover something else every single day. And I'm going to ask you, why do we really age? What is exactly the explanation of aging? Is there a medical term for this? Is there a way to define what aging is all about?
Wow, that is a big question. We do it.
Yes.
We do age because of a set of factors. Specifically, we age because of 7 pathways that exist at the level of cellular level. We age because there is an internal clock in every cell that dictates when the cell should go bad. We age because sometimes the cells have a disease where they divide uncontrollably. In order to survive, they develop mechanisms where they just keep dividing, and this is what cancer is called. Other cells become zombies. They don't die when they're supposed to die, and they become only sources of infections. And like people with dementia, that's pretty much one of the reasons this comes about, is because those zombie cells do not die when they're supposed to. Another major reason we die is because the little machinery inside the cells that gives us energy, it's called mitochondria, becomes diseased. It is a major, major cause. Another cause is that inside the cell, debris or garbage accumulates. Another cause is that outside the cells accumulates a lot of garbage, such as arthritis. And the last reason we age and die is because in between cells, the tissue in between the cells becomes stiff and very rigid. It loses the elasticity. So those are the reasons we die. At least we know why we die at this time. Yes.
So what are those seven pathways that you're talking about? Can we take it one at a time? You said the seven pathways.
Yes. The first one is there is in every cell an internal clock. The cell is
The internal clock of the cells, okay?
Yes. Each cell has an internal clock that dictates how many times a cell could reproduce itself before it dies. And it is controlled by something called telomere, which is like two little shoestrings, like at the end of each cell. And every time a cell replicates, those shoestring markers are getting a little shorter and shorter until at the end there is no more telomere left, and the cell is programmed to be killed or to die.
Okay.
To commit
telomeres are like the extremities of the cell. So there's an internal clock of the cell, then there's the inevitable death of the telomeres, the extremities of the cell. This is the second. And the third?
No, this is only for the first one.
For the first one. Okay.
Yes. The second reason is that some cells want so much to live that they are bypassing this telomere marker or programmed death to become immortal. And those cells are something we call cancer. And by definition, cancer cells are immortal, so they just keep reproducing. If they have enough resources, they would reproduce forever. They never die.
What is the real reason of reproduction? Is there a way to
control that? Well,
yes.
the way the body controls this is with immunity. Like if somebody have a strong immunity, the white blood cells in our own body would recognize those cells that have this tendency and kill them before cancer comes up. Actually, every single day, about 10,000 cells that are carriers of cancer are killed in somebody's in a healthy body.
So, in other words, everybody has those cells. Except if you have the army of the body strong through immunity, then you're not gonna
allow this. It would strengthen our immunity. Our own body will take care of those cells. We don't have to.
I understand.
That's what happens in a healthy body. Yes. So this is the second. The third one is there are some cells called senescent cells. This is something a little more recent. They were just discovered like 7-8 years ago. And those senescent cells are pretty much like themselves that lost their identity. They know that they should die, but they don't want to die. And what they do, they are not cancer, but they are not dead either. And they only produce a lot of toxins that are is extremely, extremely poisonous to the cells around it. Mm-hmm. So the more zombie cells we accumulate, the less good cells we are able to reproduce, because the zombie cells pretty much take the place of the good cells. So the more zombie cells, the more zombie you become, practically.
So that explains why some people are just, as they age, they become less aware, they become disconnected, they start to act, like you say, like a zombie person. And when their energy is down, their perception is missing of reality, and they disconnected from this reality. And that also has a lot to do with, as you said, with those toxicity that happens inside the cell. So this is third.
Yes, the fourth one is an extremely important one. It's a reaction that happens inside the energy powerhouse of the cell. This organelle, or this tiny structure inside every cell, it's called mitochondria. Yes. And by many, many scientists, this is considered the kernel where any disease originates. Anyone, according to many, many scientists, like Alzheimer's, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, aging, arthritis, pain, decrease of energy, everything has the origin in this organelle called mitochondria and the lack of functioning properly. And I did spend a lot of time in the book talking about mitochondria and about ways of helping the mitochondria, ways of helping it getting rid of all the oxidation that results as a normal process of this mitochondria. And this is a major, major, major cause of getting old and dying. In my opinion, it's probably number one.
This is number one. I want to ask you at the end to give us some hints. What can we do, to empower mitochondria? What can we do to actually, in a way, regenerate, stop the oxidation, and regenerate and give energy to the cells and regenerate the mitochondria? What can be actually done? I'll ask you, if you want to answer now, if not, I'll ask you at the very end.
Let's finish the seven steps, because this was only the
fourth. Right, exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm.
The number five is the accumulation of toxins inside the cell. So this is like somebody has a beautiful house, but they never take the garbage out. And after about a year, probably the kitchen would be filled with garbage and they won't be able to get in. And after a couple of years, probably they would not fit into their own house because the garbage would be so much. And not only that it would occupy space, but the garbage itself would release toxins that are, poisoning structures around itself if it's so much garbage accumulated. So this is the fifth reason of aging. We're going to talk about how to get rid of all this garbage. The sixth is like exactly the same that garbage accumulates inside the cell. Garbage could accumulate outside of the cell too. And this is resulting in somebody that has a house and with a little backyard and front yard, and everything is filled with garbage in and out. And this, we look at, for example, what happens inside the blood vessel, where the garbage accumulates, garbage structures accumulate until it closes the blood vessel, and like, for example, a heart attack or a stroke occurs, or the same thing happens in the liver or in the gallbladder or God knows where, and it stops the function of a particular organ or a system, and it's nothing to desire. And the last step that leads to aging is the stiffening of the matrix in between the cells. So something like in cystic fibrosis, where the in-between tissue, you know, the cells are kind of normal, but the in-between tissue is so stiff that it actually renders the organ ineffective because the stiffness that occurs in the interstitial tissue.
Well, this is brilliant to me. This is so genius because we need to understand the way you explain it. We make all of us understand what actually happened to us in the process of aging, and everything, as you can explain, as you can make us understand, comes at the cellular level. Everything has to do with the cell. Everything has to do with mitochondria, has to do with extremities, the tissues in between, and this is where the aging process actually happens. So what can you actually do? Like, I'm going to go back to the question, what can we actually do to get rid of the garbage that you're talking about? What can we actually do to prolong the life of the telomeres? What can we actually do to enhance the mitochondria's energy that exists at the level of the cell? Give us, I know all of this is in the book. Now, guys, if you want something and you listen to the show, go get Dr. Daniela Farkas's book, The End of Aging, because it's absolutely revolutionary. It's one of the best books that I've ever read that has to do with the medical field. Please, I'm not exaggerating. It's absolutely brilliant. So go run and get it right away from everywhere books are stores, and go to Amazon. You'll find it right away. It's a brilliant book. So give us a little bit of, explain us a little bit, what can we actually do?
Before we find out how we can rid of garbage, we have to see where is this garbage coming from.
Right,
and,
right.
The garbage is coming, most of the garbage, not all of it, like probably 90% of the garbage that we find inside the cells and inside the mitochondria and inside everything else, comes from the food we eat. The food that we eat is not only the quality of the food, but it's also the quantity of it. If somebody, for example, eats something that is like filled with processed food, those processed foods are so full of chemicals that the body never encountered those type of chemicals 10 years, 50 years ago. That's why your mother and grandmother lived such a long time, because they didn't have to deal with those processed foods. The oils that we eat are so poisonous to the cell. But not only that we eat stuff that is so bad for us, we also eat enormous quantities of devoted of vitamins and full of empty calories. But it's not only full of empty calories, it's also full of toxins that the body will have to get rid of. So this is by far the number one source, by far the number one source of chemicals. Another source of chemicals, eating, for example, tuna. Tuna is a type of a fish that accumulates a lot of mercury in it. So when we eat tuna like every day for a month or 2 months, then we should not be surprised that our level of mercury in the blood is like 3,000 more than it should be, and it will take the body 10 years to get rid of. Because
what
we
about
do not
other type of fish? If you eat salmon or other type, because there are all kinds of every fish is the same thing with the mercury level or not really?
Definitely not every fish. The larger the fish, the more chances of accumulating toxins like tuna. But if somebody eats salmon, especially wild salmon, not farm-raised, it is a source of goodness for the body and a source of good oils and good food, unbelievable good food. Also small fish, like the smaller the fish, the less chances of accumulating toxins it has.
I understand.
Like small herring, sardines are excellent. Absolutely excellent for people.
Okay. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Fish is not a problem. The problem is that when you eat very large fish, you also are playing Russian roulette, because that fish has a chance of getting a lot of toxins in the ocean, and you kind of consume the same toxins that were accumulated in the fish body.
Now, you talk a lot about the food. What about the water, Dr. Farkash? How is the water playing a role in longevity?
Oh, my God. It is so amazing. Water is such a hot topic today. Mm-hmm. And I'm working with water since 2012. And I am absolutely fascinated by its unbelievable, unbelievable properties. Water represents at least two-thirds of our weight. Like, if you sit on the scale, two-thirds of what we measure is water. But if we count the number of molecules of water versus everything, we have 99.2% molecules of water. So obviously, water plays an extremely important role.
Which water do you recommend?
I recommend very clean water. The cleaner, the better. The water that comes from the sink in a modern city, like in Miami, for example, where we live, is treated with chemicals to prevent bacterial growth, such as chlorine, fluoride, and those will have a long-time effect. In the short term, yes, it does kill the bacteria. Yes, it does help with, like, cavities in the teeth. But in the long run, it does cause cancer, it does cause problems with the cartilages, with the hip bone, with osteoporosis.
Right.
Yes. So by trying to drink clean water, clean, something that it comes from nature and it is devoid of viruses and of pollution.
What about alkaline water, alkaline?
The body keeps the pH of the blood in a very, very tight range. So if you do try to drink alkaline water, trying to alkalinize the body to prevent cancer, it's no way of doing that, because the body cannot tolerate to change the pH at the level of the blood more than a very small fracture. Fraction.
Right.
And if you change the pH, you die. So when people try to eat alkaline water, what they're trying to do, they try to prevent cancer. So instead of preventing cancer by trying to change the pH of the blood and of a tissue, it's much wiser to eat correctly, so there would be no cancer coming, or would be less chances of inflammation.
Right.
The water definitely should not be acidic either. It should have a normal pH, like 7, 7.2, 7.5, but it doesn't have to be alkaline. I know the craziness about drinking alkaline water. It does have its effects, but you would not be able to survive on that for too long.
I understand. Now, so that's very important for people to know. What are the role of the vitamins having to do with longevity?
In history, we many times think that all our vitamins should come from food. And I do recognize that this is the way we were taught in school here in Miami, but it's not the correct way. Look in history, how many people died because of lack of vitamin C, and they have scurvy, very, by the millions, because of a lack of simple vitamin C in their diet. Vitamins have a very important role, vitamins and minerals, but they should be consumed in moderation, and the primary source should come from food, not from
food,
vitamins per se. However, even though that this is the normal rule, there are cases where we have to have vitamins. For example, magnesium. is such a cheap vitamin. Meanwhile, worldwide, like 2/3 of the population of the globe is deficient on magnesium. It's causing so many unnecessary deaths. Magnesium is needed for like hundreds of reactions in the body. And if those reactions cannot be carried because of a simple magnesium molecule, it renders a tissue or a reaction ineffectively, even if everything else is there. It's like in a recipe, if you're missing the flour, you cannot make bread. Even though you would like to make bread, you don't have the flour, that's it. You could have the salt and the water, but...
Right, exactly. Now, I want to ask you a critical question also. I'm moving from one thing to the next to get as many questions as possible. Now, the world today has over 100 autoimmune disorders. What do you think? Are these disorders preventable, you think?
Autoimmune disorders are usually a result of inflammation in the body. And the inflammation in the body, almost 100%, maybe not 100%, maybe 99.99999% are coming from the gut. And
from the gut,
The gut, it's a very, 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 very hot topic today. The health of the gut controls pretty much every reaction in the body. The gut, the bacteria in the gut can make serotonin, makes melatonin, makes a lot of hormones, a lot of vitamins that are absolutely essential for our health. The health gut dictates how happy we are, how sad we are. It dictates so many things. We used to think that everything comes from the brain, and now we recognize that actually a small part of the neurons are in the brain, but most of the neurons are in the gut. And the integrity of the gut is what dictates the show. And most, in my opinion, almost all autoimmune diseases are the result of compromised gut.
Yeah, like we used to say that your health is in the gut, you know?
Like it
we
is.
Used to say you are what you eat and your health is on the plate. So these are
it
things
is.
that are so important to always remember every single day whenever you're ready to eat something or drink something. Now, do you believe in immortality, Dr. Farkash? Do you believe that immortality is possible?
Theoretically, I think we're going to be there in 2 years.
You think so?
I think so.
That optimistic,
The reason I think so is because the recent discoveries in medicine of how to regenerate an organ, how to reboot, literally reboot a body exactly like you reboot a computer, are already
incredible.
Here. It is really
here.
Incredible. Mm-hmm. We really live in a time that is so interesting. And the discoveries in medicine are so monumental. Like, for example, I'll give you a very small example. In 2019, this is only like a few years ago, a researcher in Japan was able to isolate cells, like skin cells, and bring them back, like from a person that is like 100 years old, and bring them back to the time the person was born. So you are able to turn the clock backwards.
Incredible.
Those are called Yamanaka factors, and 4 of them were discovered. This is such a monumental discovery. Actually, the guy already got the Nobel Prize for it.
No, tell me, is this all in your book? Because listen, you guys, you're listening to this show, please get this book. If you love yourself, if you want to learn something essential for your health, for your well-being, this book is so packed with extraordinary information. It's the complexity of this book, Dr. Farkash. I am so moved and impressed by your work. You did a fantastic job by writing this book. I'm so grateful to you. And I want everybody listening And I'm going to talk about this book as long as I am around, you know, so that everybody gets this book. You guys need to know what to do, you know, to turn the clock, to improve, to empower yourself, to get all the benefits of the knowledge that exists in this book. So, and again, the book is called The End of Aging and is written by Dr. Daniela Farkash, which I'm so happy to have on the show today. Dr. Farkash, I want to take some calls from some people who are so excited to talk to you. And you guys have your questions about your health for Dr. Farkash, because I know she'll be able to guide you and help you. And, you know, I'm going to go to a Romanian lady who works in New Jersey. Her name is Adriana. Hi, Adriana. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi, Adriana. How
are you? So I have two questions for me, but health related, I have it for my mom. So okay. She has osteopenia.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. Is anything that she can do, because she has days that she cannot even move?
Yes, osteopenia is a condition of the bone where the bone do get demineralized. It loses the minerals. And up until like probably 20 years ago, 15 years ago, we used to recommend calcium, calcium, calcium. Now we realize that calcium is not the major player. The major player is vitamin D3 and K2, because new bone cannot be laid down to prevent osteopenia and osteoporosis without K2.
Okay.
And K2 usually is given together with vitamin D3 and exercise. Bone is about 70% collagen and a lot of phosphate. It does have calcium too, but calcium is not really the major player. And we didn't know better. Now we do. Research vitamin K2 and D3.
Okay. And what about collagen? She should take that, put it in the coffee or?
Collagen is an excellent, excellent additive. She could get collagen from bone broth. In Romania, we used to make like a chicken soup with all types of bone. That broth, bone broth, is a very good source of collagen. And it helps not only the bones, it also helps the connective tissue, and it heals a lot of issues related to the gut.
Okay.
I also recommend you something, and I think you probably heard about this, a natural product called Algaical Plus that has D3, has K2, like you said, has collagen, and also has vegetable calcium, not the calcium that makes deposits on the arteries, but the vegetable one. So this combination and everything you say, Dr. Farkash, exists in this product that is called Algaical Plus. And you know there are thousands and thousands of people. If you put it through the internet, you're going to see thousands of people that swear that they got rid of osteopenia in a matter of 3 months. So this is the most sought after and the most sold product for women who want to treat osteopenia in a natural way.
I wrote it down.
Okay. And if you know, I'll text it to you.
Okay. And Ms. Carmen, I have a question for you.
Okay.
What is it? Yeah.
So for the 26th, you know, I'm going to that event.
Right.
The question is, I didn't make a lot of candles. Am I going to sell at least half of them and get orders for Easter?
Absolutely. Even more than half. Yeah. Even more than half.
And is pre-order for Easter?
Yes.
Okay, that's all I have tonight.
Okay. All right, my Adriana. Thank you so much. And thank you for being part of the show. I'm going to go to my first call, actually, which is Koi from New York. Hi, my lovely Koi. How are you, my dear? Koi dropped. Okay. I'm going to go to Leilani. Hi, Leilani.
Hello, beautiful women. I'm so grateful to listen to your show. And I wanted to ask you, I was diagnosed with leaky gut and Hashimoto's. I don't think I have Hashimoto's because the result was like 100, and the research I did, Hashimoto's, is the result is 1,000. I am currently eating an alkaline diet, and I've noticed my gut is really improving, but I wanted to see what you say about leaky gut. I'm off all processed foods, and I'm eating a whole pretty much vegan diet currently. Thank you.
Melania, this is a very good question. I recommend you reading a section of my book that deals with plants. Plants, like anything in nature, are living things that want to live as an organism, thrive, and see their babies do the same. When we started to eat plants, plants didn't like it that much because we kind of exterminate them, and they developed ways of protecting themselves. They develop little molecules called lectins. And those lectins act at different type of joints to prevent, to promote inflammation and to prevent people from eating them to extinction. Read that part of the book because it's so interesting. What I recommend is that you learn which plants are devoid of those lectins that are bad for us, and which plants have lectins that are beneficial for us. For example, blueberries have lectins that are extremely beneficial for us because they develop protective molecules to protect themselves from the sun. And that protection when we eat blueberries is conferred to us. The same thing happens with olives. Olives pretty much ripe in the sun, so they try to prevent radiations on the young fruit by making those lectins that are so healthy for us. That is one. But there are other plants, such as grains or corn, that their lectins are not good for us. And if you know which one is good and which one is better, and which one is worse, you would make yourself a good deal of beneficial side effects, and you would know how to prevent leaky gut. For example, there are in the grains, you know, a type of lectin that is called agglutinin that goes in between the cells of the gut without separating the cells altogether. And they are the cause of arthritis. So it pays to take the time to educate yourself.
So in other words, you have to get the book, Lelani, and read the section, because there is a section that explains exactly which is the good leptin, which are the bad ones. And if you follow, what's in the book?
There are also a lot of doctors recently that started to sound the alarm about grains, because grains is a source of inflammation and a source of promoting leaky gut. And we didn't know. You remember that about up until 20 years ago, we used to say grains, 7 grains.
All the time,
21 grains, without knowing better.
Without knowing.
And I want you to know I'm really intuitive. I took out corn out of my diet. I'm off grains. My other question is, it's so fascinating to me. I can eat pretty much anything in, say, Spain or parts of Europe, or even when I was in Peru. And I can't eat a lot of the food in the U.S. And I'm curious if you discuss in your book the GMOs and the glyphosate that they're spraying on wheat, which I believe is the reason we have an epidemic of wheat, is because of the glyphosate.
Yes, I do. And this is actually a very hot topic also. In Europe, for example, a GMO, genetically modified organisms, are illegal. And this is because the increase in cancer once the GMOs were introduced. In the United States, this is not the case. In the United States, we eat anything that is cheapest for the producer as most expensive for the consumer. Right. And it comes with the cost of billions of dollars in health costs, and we don't realize that we poison ourselves. About the glycosides, it's a result of, it's like the Agent Orange that is introduced by Monsanto. And actually, they do have, or they had, I do not know that they still have, the contract with the, any fruits that are imported from anywhere in the world. For example, if fruits would come, like, let's say, from Chile into United States, Monsanto used to have a contract with the border that they have to prevent any foreign parasites or bacteria to enter into our food chain. So here comes the big containers filled with produce at the border, and at the cost which is imposed on everybody that buys those products, it's introduced a tube of 14 inches or 16 inches through which fumigation is introduced, practically poisoning the produce to kill the potential viruses or parasites or whatever. They do kill the parasites and the viruses, but they also kill us. By the way, if products that are grown organically are coming from abroad, in the States, they are also fumigated by the type of chemicals that are put into the wagons are different and are not that toxic to humans. In Europe, this practice does not exist. For example, let's say Germany wants to buy a lemon from Ecuador. They would ask for the lemon, would do tests on the lemon itself. If the lemon was grown without chemicals, the German Commission or a group of people come from Germany and check the soil to see the quality of the soil and what type of chemicals were used or depleted from the soil. If that passed, after that negotiation starts. In the United States, this doesn't exist. That's why when you travel to Europe, you could eat a lot of stuff, including bread. The bread is the same. But what happened, what happens with the bread, in Europe, they make bread with yeast. And the yeast eats many of the lectins that kill us. Here, we don't use yeast because the bread in the United States lasts for like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, without getting spoiled. Sometimes 3 years. And what happens is they use different chemicals. And those chemicals, not only that they mimic many of the hormones that we should have, that's why little boys have boobs and so on, but also the lectins that were there initially in the grains are still there and will affect us. And this is also discussed in the book.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
So interesting. I'm going to go to Kim in Florida. Hi, Kim. How are you, my love?
Hey. How are you guys? How are you doing?
Hi, Kim.
So, hi, Kim. What is your question to Dr. Farkash?
So, my daughter has PCOS. And I was just, she's back on, you know, taking her birth control, and she's really concerned with what would be the outcome of her being infertile.
Those are very specific questions. There is a possibility of being infertile from different chemicals, but the birth control pills that we give now to girls are not as toxic as they used to be years ago. Also, there are other ways of controlling this. It would be wise if you could find a naturopathic doctor that would check the hormones and would be specifically for this condition. Because, yes, this affects it. some of the girls that have this condition are taking metformin, and with very, very good results. And it seems to work, although we do not know exactly what pathway this works on, but it does work. So you will right. have to get with an endocrinologist for this, because it has to be measured very specifically. And, you know, when little girls have this, you don't play with hormones.
Right. So she goes to an endocrinologist right now, and we're doing a sleep study on her because he says 90% of this is lack of sleep, and she does not sleep. She's been a very depressed person for many, many years. She's only 24. So she's got to do a lot of stuff. But now this, and she's really concerned with, you know, for future, with her, you know, wanting to have a family. And of course, everything that else goes with it. She cannot lose a pound. She works out. She does Weight Watchers. And she's not gaining, but she's not losing an ounce. And I really feel bad for her. But I'm hoping, I mean, I don't want her to have sleep apnea, but we have a feeling that she might. And I was just wondering, the doctor just thinks that maybe that she, if it is lack of sleep, that this can be, obviously taken care of.
This is a specific case, and I cannot really give you instructions one way or the other without having access to all the lab results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But let me tell you, lack of sleep could cause a myriad of problems.
What was that?
Lack of sleep. Or decreased quality of sleep. It's a very, very, very big issue. It's a big, big issue. And maybe she could find ways of improving the sleep, like with meditation, with medication, or with sleep studies. But yeah, she has to restore the sleep.
Yeah. So we're going to check this for sleep apnea. And you don't want anything more, but she hasn't slept in many, many years, and she's trying to find things on the market to, you know, help her out. But of course, the endocrinologist said he doesn't want her on any of those sleep aids because they just give you dementia and all that other kind of stuff. But anyway, I was just figured I would, I was listening to your show tonight. It was really interesting, and it's a lot, this whole thing. You know, there's, you know, so much that comes with it, you know. Depression,
did she ever try CBD?
Yes.
Did it help?
And that's what's actually putting her to sleep right now. But if she has sleep apnea, we kind of need to know that as well.
Yes. She also probably
is really heavy
sometimes. Weight, it's a big problem, and the weight of the neck presses on the trachea and on the cords, and pretty much suffocates people that have like a big jawline and like fat accumulation around the neck. So she should definitely look into ways that could lead to losing some weight, even like a surgery. Like a bariatric surgery, but she needs to lose the weight, because with that weight, it's very hard to have a normal pattern of sleep where all that fat pushes on the neck and on the vessels that carries oxygen and carries
She's only like 15 pounds overweight, but she used to be... She used to be like 120. Now she's 140. But the doctor's like, you're not even supposed to be 120 with your height. But she doesn't feel comfortable in her skin. And she always feels bloated because, you know, she'd gotten off of birth control and she didn't get her periods for like six months. So now she's back on it and they're becoming more regular, where she doesn't feel so bloated. But there's the sleeping part, and she just tries so hard to just feel good about herself, you know. And she's like, I try everything that I eat completely right, because she has to with this. Nevertheless, she's trying to lose weight. Nothing falls off of her. It's sad.
Wow. It's definitely an endocrine issue there, and she needs to look into it, because sometimes there are hormones that are produced by some mini growth in the ovaries or lack of sleep, or it's better to have an expert opinion in that particular condition.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, doctor,
keep going, but I was just...
I'm coming at the end of the show, Kim. I'm coming.
Okay, thank you, ladies. Have a good night.
I love you. Dr. Farkash, when people can find you, because you are such an extraordinary doctor and you can help so many people. Where people can find you? Give us a website or where people can get a hold of you.
I have two different websites. For the book, I have one called The End of Aging, the name of the book, .com, and Dr. DanielaFarkas.com, it's another one. And they could definitely send me an email at all of those, at both of those websites and get me through. Also in the book, at the end of the book, I do put all the contacts. They could get me through there.
So everybody listening, please get this extraordinary book, absolutely amazing book, a revolutionary book. The End of Aging by Dr. Daniela Farkas. Dr.